Preston and Steve Fun Size Podcast.
Okay, so we're not going to go into the bizarre file right now because we got a call from someone. Actually, Casey got a call on his cell phone, not expecting this call. In fact, right before he answers it, he goes, getting a call from Beverly Hills. I wonder who this is. So he answers the phone like this. He goes, hello.
I had mentioned this could be a possibility.
You did. You had mentioned this guest could be a possibility because we know someone who knows this person, yes, who is working on getting him on the show, but we weren't expecting it this morning. And so Casey goes, hello. And he goes, and then I'm hearing one side of the conversation.
Peripherally.
And then I just hear, who dis? And then I hear, excuse me? And he goes, Zack Snyder? You mean like the effing director and stuff?
Exactly. The professional approach we want.
Or effing director?
All right,
the effing director?
So that part was because I was thinking of Zach Hill was who with the Flyers, and I'm like, that's not his last name.
Right.
The other thing, the way I answered the phone and all that is because I'm so worried about phone scams and
phone
stuff
scams.
Like that. So I never,
gotcha,
I never give my actual voice.
Is there a current people posing as Zack Snyder scam going on?
As far as I know, no.
Okay.
Leading up until then,
yeah.
He was
the possibility.
Hello. Hello. Because I don't want people recording my voice and then, you know,
I got you.
Stealing my identity.
All right. Well, it's the real Zack Snyder.
It is.
How about
and
that?
He's the man who directed films like A Man of Steel and Batman v Superman. Sorry, Justice League, 300, Dawn of the Dead. What I am, in my own humble personal opinion, think is the best superhero movie ever made. Watchmen.
It's fantastic.
And of course, he's had his hand in other things like Wonder Woman and this and that. Ladies and gentlemen, Zack Snyder.
Yeah,
he's on the line. Zack.
Can you hear me okay?
Like, yeah, the effing director?
literally said the effing director.
Yeah, he did.
Sorry about that.
I guess effing director, that's cool. That's fine.
we're usually more professional, but Casey is professing a fear of phone scams, so that we'll cop to that. Yeah.
Yes, if I had been a phone scammer, I'd
have been off. Well, Zack, we're thrilled to have you on. We're a massive, I would kid you not, massive fan of your work. A listener, Bob, who is, I correspond with him. He is your brother-in-law. Your wife is his sister. And he said, you know, Zack is filming Army of the Dead down in AC. And so this is a series, and we're going to ask you about that. I told him we've been massive fans and throughout your history and Watchmen is just something that just blew us away.
Yep.
And going all the way back to your earliest stuff, Dawn of the Dead, and even before that, and the stuff has been great. So it's an honor to talk to you. And can you tell us about what Army of the Dead is? What it's looking like? How it's coming along?
Yeah. We're just here, like you said, in AC shooting. You know, we needed a casino. We needed an empty casino, and they're hard to find. So we found one here in AC because the movie takes place in Las Vegas. But, you know, it's there's like a zombie plague that hits Vegas. And then they're able to contain the virus to the city. They build a wall out of shipping containers around the city. And then the city falls. And 6 years later, one of the casino owners hires this group of zombie soldiers to go get his money that he left in a safe in the casino.
Love it.
So that's kind of like a heist movie and like a zombie infested Las Vegas.
That's perfect because Vegas is pretty much inhabited by zombies all the time anyway. You see them at the freaking slot machines.
Yeah. You know? Your Dawn of the Dead is just, to me, when I saw that the first time, not really knowing what to expect, it was just such a revelation. The most badass, aggressive zombies. And so also just the nature, the tone, the humor, but your visual style has served you so well, and it seems so meticulous. Who were your inspirations when you first started getting into film?
Well, I guess, you know, when I was a very young boy, I saw this movie called Star Wars. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Independent film.
It's a space thing. Anyway, that kind of got me. I was, you know, my mom got me like a Super 8 movie camera. I started shooting little movies with my buddies, my friends. And I guess as I got older, I really was turned on by movies, you know, in general, but like Apocalypse Now, of course, and Taxi Driver, all of the, like, you know, the late 70s, early 80s kind of maverick filmmakers that were around.
Yeah, the second really, golden age, basically, where you had all these incredible directors that basically, you know, reset the film industry at that point.
Yeah, and I think that work really kind of made me feel like, you know, anything was possible, you know, in the story, you know, sort of visual storytelling world. And I was always like into, I drew, and I like drawing and painting. And I draw my own storyboards, and, you know, I'm really very careful with the way the look is sort of visually rendered. Yeah. And it's really important to me, like, exactly how every little piece fits in.
Well, so that'd be
it's fun.
We've had Guillermo del Toro on the show, and he as well is an artist, and you can tell that. You can tell in the way things are visualized. And I mean, you know, everyone, the look of 300, and going back to Watchmen, which almost seemed, you know, it was sort of the impossible thing. Who's going to pull that off? Who can pull that off?
Yep.
And, you know, Press and I have talked about how some people, you know, jumped on it. And I'm like, I don't know how you could make a better, more true version to the graphic novel than that. Have you ever heard back from the author?
Alan Moore?
I've never heard from Alan. Over the years, I've written him a bunch of letters that I've never sent and tried to figure out, like, how I could, you know, because, of course, I mean, you don't have to, you know, reach too far to know that I'm clearly a fan of his work. And, you know, I agree. I felt like part of the reason I did Watchmen was because they were going to make it without me. It didn't matter that, you know, the movie was kind of in the works, and I took it and I put it as close back. Because when I got the script, it was, you know, totally, you know, set in the modern world, and it was the war on terror.
Oh, no.
No. A huge no. Yeah. So anyway, I was like, what? No. And like Rorschach had a sidekick. And, you know, instead of killing the dogs, I think the dogs became his, like, sidekicks. And it was all sorts of crazy stuff. So anyway, I think he had a love interest. It was weird. Anyway, so I was just, I said, no, I have to do this, or I feel like, you know, I'll never forgive myself if I just let them do it that way.
Well,
so
I'm sorry.
I got to work on it. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, you did tinker with one major, major plot point, which is the end of the film.
True,
but
the
I, end. I think you updated it properly.
You made it better.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, because at the end of it, not to give too much away, there was a thing with an octopus and so on and so forth. The way the ending ends up in your version, I think is better. It actually has a little bit more of an impact.
Yeah.
But so you this was a passion project for you. You go through it, and it literally points where it's. The panels in the graphic novel are what you're putting up on screen. And so I assume at some level that has to be frustrating when people, you know, it's the thing when you take on anything like this. I assume, you know, when people are bringing Harry Potter to the screen, there's always people who will piss and moan about what you're going to do.
Yeah, well, and again, you know, I just, because I'm a comic book fan and I love doing it.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure. There's people that, you know, have pick issue with certain choices that you make, but you can only, in the end, you know, I just wanted to see the movie. So I just, a lot of times you just have to sort of make it for yourself.
Well, we're glad you did, because it's absolutely one of our favorites. And I'll also, again, here with Batman v Superman and the Justice League, you brought to the screen, and everyone here knows that, everyone in the studio can verify this, Ben Affleck and your version of Batman, and I'm a massive Batman fan. That is my favorite cinematic version of Batman. And that warehouse fight in Batman v Superman, on a fanboy level, I mean, it was like the wedding night with my wife. It was as orgiastic as you could get. When you're directing something like that, are you, even though you're doing it, are you fanboying out yourself?
No, 100%. There's no way. I mean, you can't. I don't think you can make those kinds of movies without, you know, a love for the characters and a love for sort of the what you're doing. And I think for me, that in particular, you know, having Batman fight a bunch of thugs in a warehouse is like, that's about as good as it gets.
Yes.
In the, you know, in the pure iconographic, you know, superhero, like, I'm going to make a movie one day where Batman fights a bunch of thugs in a warehouse. And you're like, okay, that sounds awesome.
But you
it
did.
Doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter what's happening otherwise. But yeah, so yeah, no, it's of course, it's a complete dork fest.
So speaking of like your creative decisions in movie making, I want to go back to Man of Steel because it was your choice to not use slow motion for any of the effects, and I love that. It made all of the fight scenes more kinetic. Was that the look that you were going for?
Yeah, because it was a funny, you know, it's a funny thing, you know, with Superman, you're already in this fantastical world and this sort of fantastical point of view. I always say that Superman's the most realistic movie I've ever made, which is, you know, like, it has the most outrageous character, but the most sort of grounded visual sort of style. And I think that we did that completely on purpose because I felt like, you know, in order to ground him and make him relatable, we were trying to do everything we could to make the sort of the visual style be accessible. And so you could get into him because, you know, there's a version of him where he's just completely aloof and impossible
yes.
to relate to.
No, I agree. And that's always been the issue of Superman is how when you're basically a god, what do you have to lose? Is the line in Batman v Superman, you know, when Batman says to him, "You're not brave. Men are brave because we have something to lose." And
sure,
in that, right. So the human aspect of the character in Man of Steel is what comes across. And there are a number of moments that make me, you know, well up, you know, the scene where he's with his dad and he saved the kids in the school bus. And he's like, well, what do I do? You know, and the father's trying to protect his son. And yeah. and it's just beautifully directed. And now I'm fanboying out. What are you going to do?
So. No, it's all good. By the way, I'm glad I made the call. Worked out really well so far.
I'm sure you were second guessing it the second that a-hole answered the phone, that yeah. a-hole being me.
No, it's amazing. I'm
well, we're glad you really did. Happy. I don't know what your time is like, but we do want to. You have Army of the Dead coming up, and when
yeah,
can we?
I'm literally staring at the camera crew right now.
All right,
saying, all right.
Well, when can we expect that on for viewing?
It's coming on Netflix next summer, so look out for it. Winter, sorry. My wife, is also my producer, is telling me.
Did she just yell at you?
Yeah, she's yelling at me.
So do me a favor. When you're back in town or you're in town for any reason, you got to drop by and we're going to spend a little bit more time with you because we're, again, clearly we've established we're massive fans with Potty Mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's great. By the way, those are my favorite kind of people. So.
And you will always remember us because you're the effing director. So.
Yeah.
I
love it. Hey, Zach, thanks for a few moments. We appreciate it. Continued success with you. Enjoy your shoot in Atlantic City, and hopefully we'll talk to you sometime soon, okay?
All right. Thanks so much. For sure. I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right. Excellent. Zach yeah. Snyder.
Yeah. Hey, I have your phone number.
That's great. You do.
He's gonna
you have
that.
To store him as Zach the effing director Snyder. Yes. Yeah.
So that's Bob Henkin is his name, and he's a listener, and a he's been working this, and I appreciate it, Bob.
That's
thanks for your efforts.
So cool. Yeah. Thank you, Bob. Man, wow. I just, you know. We had no preparation for that because you know, maybe a half hour ahead of time like that of a last second thing. But that was like, he's coming on in 1 minute. We're like, okay,
but
I love it.
For you, we're massive fans,
I love it.
And it's just it's one of those cases where you want to tell someone how much you admire their work without.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think we could be like besties with him like we are with M. Night?
Well,
over time.
Listen,
over time. I'm just, you know, he's not on the phone. He's not listening right now.
He seems like real folk.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you remember Dawn of the Dead, if you talk about, you know, zombie movies and stuff like that, I love the whole sequence where they're shooting for game. They're on top of the roof.
Yeah.
And he holds up the sign Jay Leno. And so they shoot the one zombie who sort of looks like Jay Leno. And they're playing a game back and forth at the other guy who's trapped on top of the other building.
Yeah.
Did you ever see it? Did you see it?
No.
Oh, my God. It's amazing. So.
Okay. Nice. So he's shooting Army of the Dead in Atlantic City. I think Alexa, one of our Calendar Girls, was just there in one of the scenes. They're shooting at the Showboat.
Yeah, yeah. They've closed it. It's not a casino right now. Although I guess there is a bit of a hotel that's still there. But yeah, she's going to be in it as well.
Yeah, nice.
More podcasts from Preston and Steve available at PrestonandSteve.com.